your Bibles with me to Ephesians 4, and let's find some application. Ephesians chapter 4, thank you for being here today. Many, many visitors, many from a lot of different places. We are glad that you are here. There is room in the kingdom. There's place in the service. There is work that we all can do. Do you agree with that? Let's rise and build. Let's rise and build. I don't know about you, Nehemiah is one of my favorite stories in the Bible, and just reading it, just hearing of what he accomplished with God's people, it ought to motivate us to get up and to rise and to build. So this morning, I want you to think with me, what does the story of Nehemiah that Tim brought us through, and what does the theme rise and build have to do with us? What does that have to do with us? And so I have two thoughts for you today that I think will help not only introduce the theme that we're going to be working on this year, but it will also help tie together the thought of rise and build. You and I rise and build. Here's our first thought. Number one, there's work to be done. Obviously, there is work to be done. A work that God has for us to do. You know, we can look at passages like Ephesians 2 and verse 10 where Paul says, "For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." God had a plan long ago. A lot of works He has prepared for you to do. I like the passage in Philippians 1 verse 6 where Paul says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." He began a good work. He's not done with that good work in you. God has work for you to do. Something I thought of when this thought was prepared was the very beginning. God created the world. And remember, He looked back over everything and He said, "It is very good." But the work wasn't done. And so God created man, and He gave man a commission, a plan. And part of that's laid out in Genesis 2 and verse 15, which says, "The Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it." It's amazing, isn't it? Adam's work in keeping up the garden must have seemed so small and insignificant compared to what God did in creating the cosmos and creating the world. But in another sense, what an incredible and awesome opportunity that God entrusted to Adam, following in His footsteps. Because the tilling and the planting and the sowing in the garden was his way of doing the same work of God, creating something new. That's what I think of when I come to the New Testament and I read how Jesus in Luke 19 and verse 10 said, "I came to seek and save the lost." He came for the purpose of seeking souls, saving them from doom, from Satan. And so He came with forgiveness. He came with redemption. He came with freedom. And He came, as John said, to destroy the works of the devil. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Satan brings death. Satan brings fear. Satan brings sin. He destroyed all that God created, which was good. Jesus came to reverse that. And so when we take on what Jesus commissioned us, commanded us to take the gospel into all the world and to preach this gospel to all creation, I think that we are just doing what happened in the very beginning. We're sharing in God's incredible work. In our own small way, we are doing exactly what Jesus came to do, and that is seeking and saving the lost. And so we are preaching to the world that there is means for forgiveness, there is hope for you, and there is life still found for you beyond the grave, and all of that is found in the Savior, Jesus. And when we preach this gospel, and when we reach our neighbors and our friends and our co-workers, we are doing exactly what Jesus did with the works of Satan. Because when we teach the truth, as Paul said to those who are in error, he says that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. It's not just that they don't have Jesus. It's not just that they are in sin. They are captives right now, and they need freedom. They need release. They need hope in Jesus. There's work to be done. Well, a neat way of thinking of it is that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He gave that very same command to the apostles, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And then they handed it on to the next generation, and they handed it on to the next generation. Brethren, here we are, 2016, and the baton has been handed to you. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. There's work to be done. Because just like in Jesus' time, just like in our ancestors' time, there are souls in Chattanooga who were held captive by Satan. There are souls in danger, drowning in their sins, held captive in bondage, oppressed by addiction, oppressed by Satan, and they need to be released. There's work to be done. Second thought, which takes us to our passage in Ephesians 4, is that everyone is needed for this work to succeed. You really see that in Nehemiah. Nehemiah didn't come on the scene in Jerusalem and say, "Don't worry about this, I'll just do it myself. If it's going to be done right, I'm going to do it anyway." He didn't hire out some Gentiles, "Let's get some good carpet workers from Moab and we'll build up." No, he got the people there involved. Every one of God's own people had a role to fill, and together they rebuilt the city. When you look at Ephesians 4, that's precisely what Paul says. Just look at verse 14. He says, "As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up into all aspects, into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." The growth of the body. The church is the body. It's a saved group. Those who have been saved by Jesus. Look again. How does the body grow? By the proper working of each individual part. When every single one of us does our share. You know what that means? Seeking and saving the lost, it's not just for the preachers. It's not just a work for the elders. It's not just a work for the deacons. It's a work that we all must do. We need teachers. We need someone who can teach the gospel, who know it, and can share it in a way that's easy to understand and easy to apply. And we need some who are good with inviting friends to studies, friends to services, friends to hear that gospel message. We need people who can hand out flyers and CDs and tracts. We need people who can pray for open doors, pray for open hearts, pray for opportunities. And while our role may be different in this work, the point is the same. If this work is going to succeed, it's going to be because we all did our part. We all have played our part in this role. Everyone is needed for this to succeed. If this church is going to grow, but more importantly, if souls are going to come to Jesus, it's because all of us have played our part in this work. I heard a story not too long ago about a lady named Angela, and she was not a Christian, but she had a coworker that was. Everyone knew her coworker Vicky was a Christian. Not that she went around with the sign, "I'm a Christian," but the way that she talked and she walked, the way that she read her Bible during lunch, everyone knew she was a Christian. Angela knew she needed to be going to church, but she just didn't. Maybe you've been there before. "I know I need to be going to church. I know I need to be thinking about Jesus, but I just, every time I try to or think about it, I talk myself out of it." She was hoping that Vicky would invite her to church. In fact, there are times she'd even drop hints during a conversation, but Vicky never picked up on it. There was one time at lunch when Angela and Vicky were talking, and a third coworker was there and just listening in on the conversation. That third coworker eventually said, "You know what, Angela, it sounds like you need to go to Vicky's church. Vicky, have you ever invited her?" And she turned blood red, and she looked at Angela, and she says, "I'm so sorry. Would you like to come to church with me?" And Angela just smiled and says, "Of course I would." She commented on this afterwards. She's a Christian now. She obeyed the gospel. But you know what she said? She said, "There may be many just like me simply waiting for an invitation. You have nothing to lose, but everything to gain." And I wonder if maybe you have a coworker or a neighbor or a friend or a family member who's simply waiting for you to invite them. All the statistics say the same thing. 8 out of 10 would come if they were invited. 8 out of 10 would come if they were invited by a friend. Let's rise and build. I have a great quote from a friend. I had to make sure I was right saying it today. "If you always do what you've always done, then you'll always get what you've always got." That is, if you never change, you're always going to get the same results. So let me ask you something, brethren here, North Hickson Church of Christ. You satisfied with what you did last year evangelistically? You satisfied with the many people you reached out to? Are you tired of the status quo? I mean, are you tired? You have some people you know you want to talk to, you know you want to invite them, but month after month after year, nothing ever happens. Can I ask you something seriously now? If this year, 2016, we really gave our best to try and share Jesus with others, we tried our best with our friends and our neighbors and our coworkers to share them the gospel, but at the end of the year, we're here in 2017, and not one soul came to Jesus, would we have failed? Oh, no. Here's a question for you. The number of people that have come to Jesus because of our efforts in the last few years, do they reflect a church that has given its best? I don't mean to discourage us. I want to encourage us. This is a great time, beginning of the year, a brand new theme. Let's do better. Let's all do better. Because this is not something we can neglect. This is not something we can just pass over. Let's all commit this year, the beginning right now, first Sunday of the year. What can I do to play my part in this work? Maybe it's not teaching, maybe it's not starting a study, but you know what? I can at least do something. Let's all together rise and build. And the song we're going to sing right now fits exactly to that, and that is, I am resolved. Don't sing it if you don't mean it. I'm resolved. That is, I am committing today to make a change in my life. Maybe I'm talking to a lot of people here who have not been like Jesus, seeking and saving the lost, and you need today, change your mind, change your behavior, change this year. This year is the year to get serious about this. This year is the year to talk to your friend or your neighbor or to at least make an effort more than you have before. This year, I am resolved. I'm not going to keep doing the same things, beginning the year with a good plan and ending with bad results. Let's change that. I'm resolved. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian and you've heard a lot about reaching those who are not lost. You heard a lot about bringing people to Jesus. There's hope. There's hope for every soul. Doesn't matter how far they've drifted. Doesn't matter how far they've wandered. There's hope. There's hope for forgiveness. There's hope for a second chance. It's not found in yourself. It's found in the blood of Jesus. And if you want to ask more questions about that, if you'd like to get some prayers from the saints here, if you'd like to start your journey with the Lord, we'd love to help you. But can we together today, will you join me in this? As we sing this song and then continue on with this day, will you begin with me today, this first Sunday of the year? Let's resolve to change. This year, these Christians here and this church, we are going to rise and build. We're going to get serious about seeking and saving the lost. We need to do it together. We can help you. Let's do it right now as we sing, as we stand and as we sing.